Is it true you know kung fu?
Yeah, that's right. I grew up in an orphanage. My orphan got beat up, so I decided to learn self-defense. I've always dreamed of getting into law enforcement.
Americans can be very useful. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack, Super Bowl Sunday edition of FilmSack. My name is Scott Johnson. This is episode 233, and this is the podcast that mines the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. And I'm joined tonight by Brian. Get those jump pads away from my face, Dunaway.
Hey, guys. You know, I waited patiently for like 87 minutes to see some accidental spying. Sure, I got lots of kung fu fights, lots of high-speed chases in cars and on foot. Some more naked than I am comfortable with. Even got two big fights that involve cranes, but no spying. Maybe they should call this movie The Accidental Crane Operator. That I could have gotten behind. How do you operate this thing? Yeah. I'm pulling all these levers and accidentally operating the hell out of this crane. I could have watched that.
I think we did watch that. Also with us, Randy, I like a good group fisking as much as the... Fisking? Sorry.
Whoa.
Frisking. And a group frisking as much as the next guy, Jordan.
Oh, nurse. Aloha, Scott, Brian. For 7 months now, this is true, for 7 months now, the Wikipedia article for today's movie has had the following disclaimer at the top. This article may be confusing or unclear to readers. This article may be made need attention from an expert in film. This article may be written from a fan's point of view rather than a neutral point of view. The examples and perspectives in this article deal primarily with China and do not represent a worldwide view of the subject. The lead section of this article may need to be rewritten. The article needs attention and additional citations for verification. The examples and perspective in this article may not include all significant viewpoints. I am here to declare that today, gentlemen, we will right these wrongs. We will amend these errors. We will address these grievances because we are FilmSack and a movie about a naked man fending off attackers while constantly hiding his chin from being seen deserves better than this.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear indeed.
Randy
Although
fisk bump.
We will never see.
Randy fisk bump.
I'm going to make a prediction.
You, wash it.
I'm going to make a prediction in a minute, but before we do, finally, Brian Accidental Movie Ibbit.
Oh. You know, I never knew how much Jackie Chan and I had in common. So, like, we're both kind of goofy around beautiful women, right?
Yeah.
We both try to use reason first to get out of dicey situations.
Always.
And we both like to run through the market naked and rub our junk on as many items as possible.
It's a Saturday for you. You call
that's
that
right.
Saturday, sure.
Right.
Do you also have half a taco hanging out of your butt when you do that, or whatever
Maybe
the hell
I
that
got
was?
3/4 of a taco hanging out of my butt.
Oh, that was gnarly. All right, so the movie we're talking about is The Accidental Spy. I only remember it from just vague memories of maybe a trailer or something. Never saw it. This is yet another Jackie Chan film that I didn't see. Made in Hong Kong by Hong Kong folk, translated for American audiences with some changes. And one of those changes was, or maybe there was never a change. Maybe the translation is not the problem, but there's no plot in this thing. It's kind of the worst one we've seen. And I would like to make now my prediction, which is I don't think we'll ever see, at least for a very long time, we will not see another Jackie Chan movie. I think this one put it to bed for me for a while.
Taco in my mouth,
okay,
bad.
Opening our upcoming schedule.
Yeah, make sure none of those are any of that while I play Scott Fletcher's description of this terrible film.
The Accidental Spy. Buck is a salesman with dreams of a better life who hits the jackpot when he discovers he may be the long-lost son of a wealthy businessman. But Buck's father turns out to be a secret agent who makes Buck the key figure in locating an elusive drug.
His name wasn't Buck, was it?
No, and here's what's funny is I could have sworn I remember him saying his name was Jackie.
Jackie Chan
movie.
A couple
yeah,
of times.
Over
yes.
And over yes. And over.
Yeah. So he overdubbed his real name.
Yeah.
Look at IMDb, and it says the character's name is Buck Wen.
Yeah, they didn't do that. It, whatever they did for the dubbing, they changed it so his name was
Buck Naked.
Yeah, Buck Naked. They called him instead Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
And I have proof of it later. I recorded some of it. It's
did they call him Jackie Chan? They just call him Jackie.
Jackie Chan. No, there's a scene where he says Jackie Chan.
Huh. I'm Jackie Chan.
In fact, I'll play it now. Here, listen to this. Just I just want to get this out because I can't believe this exists. Here you go. Wait, are you fine? First, okay.
My name is Jackie Chan.
There you go. My name is Jackie Chan.
I didn't even notice that. That totally blipped past me because I guess I went, well, his name is Jackie Chan. Why would I have a problem with his name being Jackie Chan?
Is it like a producer over here going, you know, the Americans, they like Jackie Chan, but they don't know who this Buck is. We need
They're
to just.
They're never going
to
understand this if we use the name Buck.
The guy who's in the center of every frame of every shot. We're never going to know who that is if we don't call him Jackie.
I love that the description says Buck and that's what Scott Fletcher read because it's a great, another thing to look at with this movie and call kind of bad.
So honestly, I was actually tracking two more Jackie Chan films for us that are streaming on Netflix. Like you know, not like in a row or something.
2018. That would be good.
2018. One of them is actually called Little Big Soldier and I want to watch it with you guys. Mm. So I hope it streams forever.
Yeah, we'll see.
The other one is Tuxedo.
I hope it does too.
The Tuxedo one, I would watch
That's not streaming, but Little Big Soldier, Jackie Chan wrote, and it's just, you know, it's just this weird old Chinese story.
I'm down with that. If it's not him in the pseudo current day fighting alongside some spy agency again or cop thing, I'm fine with that. I'm cool with that. But bring me another one of these where it's like, I didn't know I got wrapped up in a giant mess, but good thing I know all kinds of weird kung fu and can dress myself in a sheet in 5 seconds flat and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think I'm done with all that for a while. We've seen too much of it on FilmSec. Like, I feel like we've had this diet of it, and it's not our fault. I mean, this seemed like a good idea. In fact, leading
it's
up to this movie,
fault.
I was all excited. I thought, all right, I like these. One more of these. Let's do this again. And this one just is not good.
So, unfortunately, we've been getting better as we were going. Mm-hmm. Like with each Jackie Chan film, we like it more.
Yeah.
And so now we've seen a stinker. You know, this is a stinker. And we're like expecting to feel what we felt with like Drunken Master.
We always hear about these movies that have no, people say there's zero plot to the film. Mm-hmm. And I usually, you know, will fight or argue that, okay, no, that's not exactly true. There's this or there's that.
It had a strong plot, but it had a plot.
It had something, sure. It had devices and tropes and things. This movie doesn't have any plot. It is supposed to be, like it has this outer shell of he becomes a spy unwittingly. Right. No, he doesn't.
Not
it's
really,
just,
no.
No, he just has a pretend speed moment.
15 minutes. The 15-minute finale is nothing but speed.
Right.
Weird.
It is weird because so the speed mythos is you can't slow down or the thing will blow up, right? Because it's mechanically designed to do so.
True.
The speed use here is the back of our truck is on fire.
Yeah.
If we keep driving as fast as we can, somehow we will keep that fire from getting too close to us.
Right. You know what fire
because
loves?
Because we don't understand how oxygen works.
Exactly. Fire loves oxygen. It's like, give me more.
Yeah. So weird. That whole idea. I did. It's fine. Like these stunts, they're fine. There's some good stuff. There's some moments of impressive, once again, work by Jackie Chan sacrificing his body for the sake of film and his art and all that. It's that stuff's fine, but everything else in between is over serious, but nonsensical and doesn't have any connective tissue. It didn't make any sense to me. And so I'm so glad to hear you guys confirm some of this because I got halfway through that movie and went, am I having an off night? Am I just a little scatterbrained right now where I'm not paying enough attention? Did I check Twitter too often during the time this was filming?
Yes, probably.
Probably. But you know what I mean? Like, did I somehow, is this me that's feeling this way? And to now hear it wasn't exactly just me, that makes me happy.
It's held together very loosely with a storyline.
Mm. Yeah, but what is, so give me that
scrot sack holder.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Popping out.
Oh, that was so gross.
Much scrot.
So,
all right, he finds out he's got a dad. He goes, meets with his dad. His
dad
says, Korean dad. Dad says, hey, let's play a game.
So he dies.
He dies.
He gets his money.
Jackie goes to his grave, sees the writing on the tombstone. The whole, I mean, it's whole thing is really loose threads. Yeah. But then he basically is following a trail of clues and random things, seeing a woman who's got the scarf. And oh no, now he's caught up in this whole drug thing. And now he's got to save her life. Mm. And now he's got to do this and that. But I mean, it's a process that he has to go through, but there's really nothing other than nobility that keeps him in that process.
All right.
He doesn't he can leave at any time.
So if you say this plot is held up, or this plot is held up by strings, I would argue those strings are wet spaghetti and the plot is
they are flimsy. There's no doubt about that.
A big fat elephant plot. Yeah.
So I think this is the movie where we got to stop and talk about how our expectations and our perspective have so much impact on what we come away with.
All right.
Because we've seen 50 movies that are worse than this movie.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
My expectations were fairly limited. My only expectations were I expected there to be a spy, and I expected it to be a good time because I seen the cover art. The cover art is Jackie Smile Channing. He's like, hey, I'm so happy. And so, and everybody on the cover is smiling, and that was all I really took into this movie.
Jackie Smiling Channing, is that what you call
smiling
it?
Smiling Channing. Jackie Smiling Channing.
I like it.
But he's so like happy.
Brian Dunaway, were you able to access some of the joy that you felt when you were watching Rumble in the Bronx?
None.
I got a little when he did some crazy stuff, but only those stunts and fights. Like, that's it. The rest of it was like a wet blanket. Just like, oh, what are we doing now? And then they would get to another fight. Oh, like even the naked one had moments of like, oh yeah, look at him. Like what he did with that sheet is impressive. It's fun to watch. It's like, oh that's God, intense yes. stuff. Like all of that stuff's okay. But right. But the Rumble in the Bronx comparison ends anytime there's dialogue or story. At least in Rumble in the Bronx, as cheesy as it was, you kind of knew everybody had you knew what everyone's motivation was. I mean, it's just like 101 storytelling. This thing doesn't have any of that. And I want to blame it on translation. Like, maybe there's a really deep spy story here. Maybe Jack Bauer would be impressed by this stuff.
No, I don't think so. No.
The title, the original title was, I can't pronounce it. It's apparently Chinese. And so, but it roughly translates
Hey, what's
to,
the giveaway? All those characters right, that are Chinese
it's characters?
The characters
okay. that I don't recognize. Uh-huh. And it roughly translates to basically accidental spy, or not really accidental spy. I think it was secret agent Ching, or Chang, mm-hmm. however you say Chang. That. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't sure if that was supposed to be in reference to his father and it's supposed to be his story and somehow mm-hmm. it got translated into American craziness. But yeah, mm-hmm. fail.
Well, and I also wondered, so with the translation, the name being changed and all these things being changed, there's no real indicator that those guys were a secret American agency anyway. So my guess is the guy pushing him in I like to call him this film's Danny DeVito for whatever reason. That was kind of the role this guy played. Seemingly little squishy little turd man, but really he's super smart and runs this very covert agency. And now he's wheeling around on a wheelchair and revealing his great secrets. And he's claiming to be a part of some elite American thing. But there's no other indications of that. It's not like they've got flags or, there's no other any of that. So I'll bet you money that in China, that was a whole different take on that. So I guess what I'm saying is part of this problem with the movie I have on the whole with the plot may just come down to that. The translation may just be terrible, or because they can turn it into whatever they want, executives said, no, we got to do these changes. And maybe the story's nothing like the original.
Right. So, okay. So we're talking about Dimension Films buying this thing up and then completely remaking mm-hmm. what you hear. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm reading from what someone else wrote about the movie. The original in Chinese was about the chase for an ultra lethal weaponized pathogen called Anthrax 2.
That makes more sense. No, it really does, because at one point in time, he's carrying around this opioid that they said, opioid mm-hmm. maximus or whatever. And I'm like, why are they carrying around in the tubes? But that makes a little more sense.
They made a movie where he's trying to track down Anthrax 2. And then when the time came, we had an anthrax scare in the United States in 2001.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they had to change that. Mm. And so they completely changed it to everyone chasing after vials of a prototype drug that's 100 times more addictive than heroin. And that is really not that significant. Like, it's not better or worse or anything.
Well, plus, the whole thing's a MacGuffin, right? Yeah. I mean, it could be the glowing jade sword. It could be Marcellus Wallace's soul he's carrying around. I mean, there's 100 things he could be carrying, because whatever it is, it's irrelevant. It's just an important thing. It's in a briefcase. It's wrapped up in a towel and wrapped around his waist, et cetera, et cetera. And at no point is it dangerous. You know, there's no point where it itself is a plot point.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah. And Randy just mentioned a thing that drives me crazy, and that is knee-jerk reactions to remove things based on real-world events. Now, if you told me you had a movie about, a mass shooting at an elementary school, and then and one happens before the release of the film, you might go, oh, boy, guys, we got to think about this one. Like that, I could see giving me some pause for whatever reason. But Anthrax, who cares?
Remember, Dimension is Miramax, which is Disney.
Yeah, and it is.
I think some of your complaints here are just going to go right to, we were trying to make this as nice a movie as possible, and it was actually quite a bit more dark and depressing originally.
And maybe that's why this tone seems so self-serious, but without any sense to me. You know, like it felt like I was being presented with something that was supposed to be, ooh, man, yeah, it's got light moments, but somehow, somewhere, I'm supposed to find some serious, contemplative, hardcore subterfuge, and I never found any. But maybe in the original, if I knew, you know, Mandarin or whatever it's in, I could walk away going, oh yeah, that was them pushing the envelope. That was them really going a little bit crazy, and thank goodness Jackie Chan was there to make me smile once in a while, because otherwise, heavy, deep subject. But instead, all I got was, hey, he's naked, and then what are you doing with that vial? I don't know. Let's go jump off a thing. Whee! Like, it didn't have any cohesion at all.
This movie has the most versions I've ever seen on FilmSack. There is the Hong Kong version, which is called the original version. Then there's a remade Hong Kong version called the international version.
Yeah.
Then there is the American version, which is the one we saw and we're talking about, which was completely hacked up by Dimension. There is an even longer cut called the Malaysian Extended Edition. I kid you not. This is like one of those weird things. Like, this movie was actually seen by a lot of people around the world 10 and 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. No, I remember it was kind of successful here even, because they'd done well with Rumble in the Bronx. They'd done well with a few of those others that came out over here around the time that this did, or a little bit before this. So my memory is that all my friends were going to go see it, and Kim and I were like, nah, we're going to, you know, I don't know why we didn't care, but we didn't care. And I'm glad we didn't, because this would have been, I would have missed that $7 or whatever tickets were then. That would have really bothered me.
Would you still have been bothered?
I'd still be pissed. I do love the director's name. His name is Teddy Chan. Now, I don't know if there's any relation there.
I looked at his bio to see if there was, and I did not see anything in his bio that said brother of Jackie Chan or anything like that.
Now, he does a ton of acting and has since the 90s, but some directing, most recently this last year, Kung Fu Filler. Killer.
I like Kung Fu Filler.
I'm enjoying your missed ups.
I'm
this
screwing
episode.
These up bad. Awesome. I don't know what my deal is. But none of these other ones I really even recognize. And 2009 is something called Bodyguards and Assassins. 2005 was Wait Till You're Older. Accidental Spy was 2001. Then Purple Storm in 1999. And then a whole bunch of things in Chinese that I don't know. So it's not like this is one of it's not like John Woo came over here and said, I'm planning my stake in Hollywood. It was this guy kind of came and went. And I don't know, you know, if this other stuff is well thought of. It's all middling scores, whatever. But it does, it did strike me as, it's a little racist for me to go, hey, I wonder if that's the same Chan as Jackie Chan.
Right. It's got to be.
How many Chans could there be in China, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But remember in 93, Jackie Chan made a really famous, really successful movie called Crime Story?
Yeah, I remember that.
This guy, this Ted Chan, wrote that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We should do more of that. So the English adaptation was written by a guy named Rod Dean for the one we saw. Now, I don't want to cast aspersions or talk stereotypes about people's names, but has there ever been a douchier name than Rod Dean? The answer is no.
And again, he did the English for Legend of Drunken Master, which we saw not too long ago.
Yeah.
He also did the English for Twin Dragons and Armor of God. So this was the guy that got selected when movies were made and didn't already have a plan, right? Like Rumble in the Bronx was made with the English translation in mind.
Yeah.
You know, this one wasn't. This guy was tapped to give us the weird dialogue that we heard.
Well, most of the work he does now is as an editorial department. And he does Glee, the 3D concert movie, Marley and Me, Marmaduke, Australia, and then a couple more you probably wouldn't know. Anyway, he's very busy now not writing movies.
Not doing the translations, but doing actual editing. Yeah, and the movie Australia...
Into the simplest form possible, too.
Sure.
The movie Australia desperately needed editing. Have you seen that movie?
Is that the Baz Luhrmann deal?
Yeah, Nicole Kidman. It's an epic.
Mm.
It's 2 hours and 45 minutes long, and so much of it is just wasted time.
Is it anything like the previous Baz Luhrmann movies where everyone's singing and stuff?
Yes. Or
it is? Okay.
No.
Yes,
no?
They're singing.
Is that
in Australia?
Yeah.
It is nothing like Moulin Rouge or Romeo and Juliet.
No. Well, I'd say it's more like Romeo and Juliet than Moulin Rouge or
what was the other one? Strictly
not
Ballroom.
Strictly Ballroom. That was even less singing, but there was another one he did
I would compare it to Great Gatsby. His Great Gatsby and Australia had the same levels of that.
Similar to that. I never saw it. I mean, whatever. It looked all right. It looked cool. I have man love for Moulin Rouge for whatever reason. I think that movie's brilliant.
I am all about the Pacific Theater for World War II, man. Movies set in that time and place, just I always have to see them.
Have you seen The Pacific, the HBO documentary? Mm-hmm. That's really good. Or not documentary. Miniseries, really good. People should watch that if you haven't. And it features maybe the best, I think one of the best scores in television history. It's fantastic.
Oh, wow, that is strong stuff, my friend.
I love it. I really do.
I can't go with you there because of Battlestar Galactica. Oh, and because of Firefly.
BSG is pretty good. But I like the opening song of BSG. It's all right. It's a bunch of drums and it's all right. I mean, you know, it's okay. I'm with you because I like him a lot too. But yeah, that's an awesome thing. What else here? We got directors, blah, 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 actors. You just know him. There's nobody else. Mm-hmm. Of note here.
Nobody, even the American, quote unquote American that they find, I don't recognize.
Yeah,
the fat guy.
Oh, what's no, it? I was thinking the black guy.
Oh, the CIA guy. Oh,
the CIA about guy.
The,
yeah,
I was talking about the immovable force.
By the way, the IMDb description calls him Bay. B-E-I. Mm-hmm. So we've got Bay, Buck, and Jackie.
Buck, Jackie. It's whatever.
Whatever.
That naked guy.
That's
fine. Just calling them names.
There is only one piece of trivia on all of IMDb, which is interesting because most of our movies, there's tons of it. Even for that weird thing last week with the ants, there was a bunch. This one says, Miramax, a subsidiary of Disney, as Randy mentioned, acquired the international distribution rights to the film outside of Asia. Like many of the Chan films for Disney, scenes were cut, foreign dialogue was dubbed, and the music score was changed. However, Miramax made so many changes to the film that it almost changed the entire movie for its release on video in 2004 for the home video version. So there's that. They also added the signature Jackie Chan end credits 90s grunge compilation, except this is the first one I think we've seen in all of these Jackie Chan movies that featured them going back and having people dub over the top of the bloopers.
Well, yeah, usually they don't include any line flubbing, right? It's always stunt mistakes and stunt problems.
Yeah.
And maybe there were just so few of them. Maybe he's just getting so much better at doing what he's doing, or there wasn't as much action wise that could go wrong in this one, that they felt like they had to pad it with verbal bloopers.
Yeah, which is weird because some of those bloopers in this even didn't need vocalization.
No,
they were yelling something obviously in Chinese after something fell or something.
Right,
biffed
when he's
it.
Falling on in his little the end. The big, mm-hmm. the big dramatic finale with the jumping out of the truck and mm-hmm. catching the net and then riding the net down the bridge.
Yeah,
they had him overdubbing stuff with that, like, "Hey, yo, let's do this again. Yeah. You're not supposed to fall.
This isn't long enough," or whatever he said.
Right.
And
right.
I that really took me out of that because that made it seem real with fake on it. Like,
right.
I don't know how to explain it. It's like, what's it like? It's like,
well, you're not getting a genuine reaction from him. You're getting,
it feels
here's how I was like, feeling when I fell off.
It's
of
like
that,
having real
bridge.
Boobs, but describing them as implants.
It feels very weird. Kind of like when they have the outtakes in the Toy Story thing.
Yes.
It's like you went through all the extra effort. That kind of,
I love those.
Yeah, but I like those a lot better.
Yeah, but those, see, those work for me because they're vocalization bloopers. Like a lot of that stuff is them actually having bloopers, and then, at least the good ones, then Pixar animating around those actual bloopers. That I like. When they started, they got weird later on. Yeah, they got weird later on. Bug's Life is the place to look for those. If you guys want to see the good stuff, Bug's Life. Everything after that, so, convoluted.
I've got another piece of trivia.
Oh, lay it on us.
The scene where Jackie Chan disguises himself in long white sheets to escape from thugs.
Yeah, I like that part.
Was completely reproduced in a Bollywood movie called Thank You.
Oh. Thank You.
And the famous to Indian movie aficionados actor Ash K. Kumar did the recreation of
that
scene.
Is he a very physical acrobatic dude?
Oh yes.
Okay. I guess he's still around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Don't wanna...
That was an impressive scene. I mean, that, you know, being able to dress yourself like you're that's not a Sikh, right? Because they're in they're in Turkey, so it wouldn't be a Sikh, but whatever the outfit is called.
I felt like it was actually anachronistic because we saw, to set that up, we saw people just walking around in burqas, which are famously outlawed in Turkey. It's not at all allowed to even.
Actually, a lot of stuff there in Turkey was weird. Like the guys with the giant hats. I don't think I've ever seen Turkey
dudes.
You mean
the 10-gallon fezes?
Yeah. Is that for real? Because I don't know about that.
Yeah, because they're whirling dervishes.
Are they?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
is that what the reference is? Whirling dervishes?
Yeah. It's a spinning dance.
Wait, you're going to tell me the most plotless movie we've seen in all of 2014, 2015 actually taught me something, though, about actual life?
You learned something about a whirling dervish, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. And there was a couple of beautiful ones, like pure white dresses.
Yeah.
That they were wearing.
The dude's spinning, right?
Yeah, here you go. Here's a link to...
I don't like seeing up men's skirts, I'll tell you that, though.
Are there... It's been a problem for Brian for a long time.
Keep those things long and don't spin too fast.
Oh, these are the real deal.
By the way, those aren't Sikhs. Those are Sufis.
Sufis, yes. Yeah. That's the words I was trying to think of.
Yeah, those hats are bonkers. Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right.
You could store a lot of stuff in there.
That's the thing. That's
where you put your change of clothes.
Keep your towels in there for your Turkish bathhouse.
For all its problems, this movie never mailed it in. There's tons of little things to see and appreciate, especially while you're not paying any attention to the hackneyed dialogue. Yeah. There's all sorts of things going on in this movie.
Well, now that you've pointed that out, I mean, everything did feel kind of authentic in terms of place and time and, you know, location and people in it. Like, that felt pretty good to me, but it just felt almost surreal by having such a crap layer of talk over the top of it.
Right.
Did it really seem real in the opening? Not the first bookend opening, but the second opening where Jackie Chan works in the high fluting mall that has the office workout.
You mean right after they play the James Bond music that's played
that's
on
the one.
Instruments that are way out of tune.
Yeah, that's
the one. And so first of all, I want to know, I want to know what led up to that point, because we see Jackie Chan when he is first revealed in the movie and he's wearing these knee pads and he's also straightening up all the wall signs, which have been totally knocked crooked, not a little bit crooked, but really crooked. Right. And the secretary is there and he's there. And I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of sexual escapade that happened before we got there, maybe?
I don't know. It's like
Knee pads?
Hence the knee pads?
They might have been trying to indicate almost like this is before all this goes down after this all goes down or something. But it didn't tell me that at all. It was here I am. Here's a lady.
They're just setting up that he works in a mall. He's a salesman. He's on the bottom rung of the ladder in his company, even though his boss says that he's salesman of the month.
Yeah, whatever that was
about.
You wear knee pads because you're constantly measuring hem length or helping people put on
your ears or whatever. Rad Rod Dean, even better. Even better.
So was that authentic to 2001 China that you had these malls? They're all like Apple stores? I mean, because that's what all the stores look like.
Well, all they were
practically the food court, too.
Yeah, and they were selling stuff that nobody cares about anymore, like those little itty-bitty trampolines. Nobody gets those anymore. That is not a thing you can buy. Yeah, we bought them from when we were kids. My parents had a couple of those. It was never for exercise. Yeah. It was because our yard's not big enough for a trampoline, so we get one.
You haven't seen the resurgence of the mini trampoline now that has the bar?
That's not.
No, it's got the bar on it. You hold on to the bar and you do the little jump thing, but you hold on to the bar and you do it really fast and hard.
For real?
You haven't seen it? I'll just send you a video of that. That's fantastic.
Get us a link.
How much would you pay to be able to do a flip?
How much would you pay
on that trampoline?
Three payments of $9.95.
Was he being suspended, or was that just my eyes playing tricks on me? Because I know he does all his own stunts and stuff, but there was something about his midsection staying a little too pivoty.
It looked very high, didn't it?
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I took it as genuine Jackie Chan stunt work.
I did too, because even in the outtakes, he didn't seem to have anything on him, even though he seemed like he was.
His shirt was tucked up a little weird, though. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I think that's ham and cheese to Jackie Chan, being able to jump, do a flip on a trampoline.
This was about the time this stuff slowed down for him, though. Shortly after this, he started doing more American fare generally, which also meant less stunts because, you know, the insurance doesn't really work that way for him here. But also, he just stopped doing crazy things. So you'd see him in, I don't know, what was that movie with?
Rush Hour.
Rush Hour.
Yeah, that was right around this time, too.
Actually, the first Rush Hour was before this movie, and then he immediately did Rush Hour 2 after this movie.
Yeah, then he did the Western.
Ryan Dunaway, fantastic link.
Let's see. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. That's can we play some of this? All right, hold on. Jumping.
Please do.
Oh, my gosh. People are doing that for exercise?
Yeah,
what you're not seeing
if you're
22
listening.
Seconds in.
Okay.
So this is just a video of people on a trampoline with a handlebar, and they're jumping. Right.
This looks like the new OK Go video.
What are they doing?
They basically hold on to it and they bounce really hard.
They haven't even touched the bar yet. Oh, wait till you get to about 35, 36 seconds.
Look at the arm swinging.
It's all synchronized and it's all like.
This doesn't. Maybe it's low impact on your knees or something. I mean, that looks aerobic. Like this would wear you out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That doesn't look too bad. They haven't touched the handlebars once, by the way, since I've been watching.
Yeah, they're essentially doing what you could do with an elliptical. I mean, they're getting all the same elliptical stuff.
Yeah.
At about minute five, once they start doing the walk in place, they are out of sync. Some people are doing left leg, some people are doing right leg.
This is a horrible movie that we're watching on YouTube.
Right. Yeah. If you want to see the video, go to YouTube and look up Jumping Fitness.
And it's even capped off by the fact that they use Comic Sans.
Right.
Oh, they do. And it says jumping when they're jumping. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic.
There we go. At about a minute, 25 seconds, they actually start using the handlebars. Okay. It's funny again.
So I enjoyed the part of the movie where Jackie Chan is demonstrating the exercise ball. I thought it was really cute and fun.
Yeah. He was doing some of the cool stuff, like the push-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scott's gone. Scott has left the room to go watch the jumping.
Sorry,
videos.
I am so into this. I had to do it.
He is on Amazon ordering his.
It's on its way. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not getting rid of those. No way in hell. All right. So the scene that made me laugh the hardest, because you want to laugh at a Jackie Chan movie, was the fight with the defibrillator pads.
Oh, that was really good.
Is it even possible, though? All right. I have no problem when you touch the same guy with the two pads and he gets shocked somewhere. But if you're touching one to your face and the other guy's touching his face to the other pad, I don't think it works that way.
No, it doesn't work.
If you're both, if they're holding hands, like I think they were with the other hands.
There needs to be a current that passes through, right? Isn't that the way that all works?
Is that how? Yep. I know you have to have you got to be able to pass the current through the body as the conductor, but I didn't realize you could hold hands and still achieve the.
Oh, yeah, because that's what they always tell you. They tell you to back up when you use those things. If you're ever taking a CPR class, they tell you to back up because you can get shocked, sure, if you're touching the body.
All right. Well, shouldn't hurt you, though, right?
Oh, I bet it wouldn't feel good.
I mean, it would hurt, but it wouldn't, you're not going to have a heart attack. It's not going to,
I don't know about that, but I do know that his face was numb for, a good 2 or 3 seconds. Well, he couldn't move on that one side.
And that's the part, again, I question.
Because he was making that face.
Yeah. But I did laugh. I laughed, is the point.
No, it was really good.
Yeah, that was funny.
You can't complain. You cannot complain about the fighting in this movie. As far as the fighting goes, this whole pop and lock, Jackie Chan, yin-yang kind of kung fu thing he does, where it's kind of, you pull this way, I pull that way. And we all roll and do something fun is always just a blast to watch.
Yeah. I also came away thinking I would.
Chop sake.
Yeah.
Chop sake.
I would happily have a Turkish massage. That looked real good to me.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, it kind of did.
Yeah.
Except I didn't realize they did it on a big Mongolian barbecue disc. Right.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like a lazy Susan, just move you around to the next guy.
Wheel of fat wet guys.
Right. I mean, that confused. Once again, that was another scene that made me go, okay, I think we lost something in translation, because he's talking to the guy who's giving him the bath, and he tells him to wake him up if he falls asleep, but then he immediately gets up and goes to the toilet and washes his face.
The toilet sink, yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. The toilet sink. And I'm like, what's going on here? Right. What is he doing?
Yeah.
All right, let's do really quickly.
Yeah.
Let's do a little word association. I'm going to say a word, and I want you to say the first word that comes to your mind after it, okay?
Who do you want to go first, all of us? All
right. Yeah, all three of you same time. Yeah, all three at the same time.
All right.
Turkish.
Dog. Prison.
Prison. There was a Turkish prison. All right. Mm-hmm. Turkish.
Turkish
bathhouse. Yes. Okay. All right. And one more. Turkish.
Sandwich.
Coffee. Yes. I didn't hear coffee, but I'm going to say it.
Turkish sandwich.
Like all the things that you associate with Turkish. You know, the words that go Turkish bath, Turkish prison, everything. Turkish coffee. They managed to hit all three.
Yeah,
they did.
The big three stereotypes. Really, yeah.
Don't burn yourself in the Turkish coffee.
There was
a trope of, or as I like to call it, tripe, because it wasn't quite a trope.
Whoops. All right, what was it?
It was the typical thing that happens, the nervous situation at a bank. They're always, sitting at the bank, and you got the banker guy there, and you just know you're going to get busted, mm-hmm. and it like lasts forever.
It's funny, because I just watched again, Swipe. What the hell is it called? Snatch. Thank you. Snatch. It was Snatch with it's the Guy Ritchie movie, and it's the after smoking, two locking smoking barrels, or whatever the hell that was.
Right. Right.
There's the scene at the beginning where all those Hasidic Jew men show up at the bank and are talking the whole time about, I don't know what to do, and they're doing the voice and everything, and then they rob this bank, and it's very much that scene where everybody's kind of frozen in their seats. Nobody knows how to react. Like it's that totally is every movie with a bank robbery in it. I hate to say it. Like they all do it. So if that's a trope, nobody knows how to not do that trope. Mm. Maybe Heat shakes it up a bit with that incredible bank robbery scene.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
But I can't think of any others.
Heat
like
has
this.
More than one sequence where people are pretending to be customers or what have you. Mm-hmm. And they look really uncomfortable trying to pull off some scheme with some mark. It's a trope. Oh, I want to watch Heat. It's a trope.
You're not talking about the Burt Reynolds one, though, right?
No.
I know.
Oh, Al Pacino, it's so good. Robert I love Heat. I was just there was an article yesterday about Val Kilmer has got some weird medical thing. He's in the hospital right now. Probably talk about it on TMS tomorrow, but he
taco
in his butt crack. Probably
what is it?
He doesn't. He won't say. Tumor. Oh, was it a throat tumor?
Oh man,
because he wasn't saying. He kept like avoiding the question because he's some practicing Seventh Day is what he said. I don't know if any of that's true, but anyway,
it was revealed yesterday.
Anyway, I was just thinking about Facebook. Him. Yeah. So he has a throat tumor. What's that from?
Throat tumor can be lots of things.
Could be anything, I guess.
Probably most associated with smoking, I would assume.
Smoking,
right?
Chewing.
Chewing.
What else you get there? You got sometimes you just get it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I hope he's all right. I'd still say we
need to watch the Burt Reynolds Heat, but okay, go on.
Yeah. The point is we need to watch Burt Reynolds Heat. I mean, that's more sack worthy.
I'm not looking at Burt Reynolds Heat. You can forget it.
And not the Heat.
Sorry, do you want to look at his stroke or ace?
Yeah. Oh, so how many you got? You got Heat, the Heat.
I see a Smokey and his Bandit.
And then Heat. Right? Yeah. There's three heats. And dead heat.
Well, body heat. I mean, if we're doing that.
Yeah, well, let's do that.
I'm gonna go that far.
Okay, hold White on. Heat. 90, oh, 86 was something called. there's a Burt Reynolds one. I'm just trying to get my head around what the hell that was. That was 86. So, all right. Yeah, maybe we'll watch that. In the Heat of the Night.
Sure.
See him dead.
Yes, please.
Heat.
What?
Crazy in Heat. I made that.
Red Heat.
Red Heat.
Wow.
Come on, get another one.
So if you don't know, the movie that we're enjoying talking about is the Michael Mann Al Pacino movie called Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And because it's Michael Mann, it's 17 hours long and it has an incredibly sexy score and every famous person in Hollywood that year was in the movie.
Oh, I found a list. Avocado Jungle of Death. Oh, Cannibal. What? That doesn't have Heat in it.
What are you talking about? What's Scott doing right now?
Chain Heat.
You're talking about the Bill Maher movie?
I don't know why this says it's on this list. Night of the Big Heat, a.k.a. Years of the Big Heat.
I had the night of the Big Heat one night right after some tacos.
In the Heat of Passion 2, In the Heat of Passion 1, L.A. Heat.
Delta Heat, Caged Heat.
Bad Heat.
Bad Heat? I can see that. What's bad heat? I don't know about that.
I love stupid metadata like that. It's kind of a problem for me.
Well, you have to go like 3 pages on Netflix to find the first one that we'd be able to actually see streaming, and it's called Heat Seeker from 1995, a futuristic thriller about a kickboxing champ that refuses to join a tournament featuring cyborg fighters.
Nope, I'm not doing it. Nope.
Too bad that doesn't sound like anything we could say.
Yeah, I know. I can't fight with no robots. I'd watch that. That sounds amazing.
It sounds hilarious.
Actually, somebody was on Facebook telling us to watch something with little tiny monkey men, and I don't know the title of it, but we've got to find out what that is. I'll dig deeper.
Let's just watch the movie, Jeremy Little Tiny Monkey Men. I love that.
Is it like Pygmy or something? Like that weird horror thing?
I only saw the sequel, Little Tiny Monkey Men 2. So.
I just did a Google search for the phrase Little Tiny Monkey Men, and it's awesome.
What?
I'm so happy right now.
Let me do this. Little Tiny Monkey
It gets you little tiny
men.
Monkeys. Lots of pictures of little itty bitty monkeys.
Oh, look at them.
I don't think that's the movie, though.
Oh, there's a picture of here of a monkey with another monkey on its back. That's great.
Oh, they're great.
All monkeys.
I got a trope for you.
Okay, please. Let's pull one up.
Like almost every Jackie Chan movie I've ever seen, there is one woman, and she can do some ass kicking if necessary.
Yeah.
In this one, the actress is Vivian Sue, and I dare you to find another person on IMDb where their profile picture is of someone else sucking their mouth off.
What?
That is Vivian Sue on go Accidental Spy.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, Sue. Yeah. She's kissing. Yeah.
The profile picture is of someone else cleaning her mouth with their mouth.
Deep.
Yeah. I mean, basically inhaling the contents of Vivian Sue.
And then below that is she's getting groped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's in a movie called The Sorcerer and White Snake, which is a great movie about a sorcerer and his backup band
that was
playing
a great double bill. I remember seeing that at CBGB's back
it's
in the day.
Is this love that I'm feeling?
Maybe it's David Coverdale who's sucking her face off.
Oh my gosh. And there's
he
a snake.
Skinny.
He's writhing on the front hood of her car. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, that's weird, Vivian. Who? Sue?
And she wasn't the one who was, she was the agent, right? Not the drug addled.
Right. No, she was the American Connection CIA counterpart agent person, right?
Which I don't buy at all. I think it was something different in China, but yeah.
Right.
I mean, to have this American agency with zero Americans in it, other than, you know, perhaps Asian Americans, but that was, I don't know. I felt like they were forcing that down my American throat.
I love this trope character, but she was no Michelle Yeoh, man.
No.
She was not even close.
Michelle Yeoh was the man.
Yeah.
She can kick it.
I don't know what to say about that, but
There was another trope all over this movie that was in every Jackie Chan movie.
What's that?
And I don't think I've ever seen it in another movie, which is why I always notice it. The trope of the apologetic attacker, you know, when they're fighting and something goes too far and everyone looks apologetic and sorry.
Mm. Yeah, and he always wipes them on the chest. He goes, oh, sorry.
Yeah. Has there ever been anybody who does that trope?
No. I think it's all Jackie Chan.
Right?
No. Jet Li would just kick your ass and leave. He wouldn't. There's no.
And then glare at you.
Yeah. And look at you. But you're probably right. He's the only one that I can think of that does that. And he does it every. It's not like it's a once in a while thing or, oh, Jackie, you're so affable occasionally. It's everybody he talks to or sees. If he's stealing your hat to put it on his freaking nuts, he's going to say he's sorry.
He looks apologetic while he's doing it.
Yeah.
It's so interesting that it belongs entirely to him.
It's the rule.
Another trope for me is when someone jerks. When someone jerks the steering wheel and the car just kind of veers off, it doesn't flip. There's no way you could jerk the steering wheel like that.
Oh yeah, it's like a whole like pull, and the truck is just barely turning.
Barely moving.
I got this, no problem.
I did like it was a nice touch when they hit on that other car and they pushed it into the swamp, and the guy got out and immediately had his finger smashed by his hood.
Oh
that
my
was
gosh,
great.
Was
that?
Oh, yeah. I was like in Jackie Chan movies, I always get super nervous at certain scenes. I jump twice. One of them was the hood slammed down. I'm like, you know, they didn't plan that. That dude almost got his hands in that hood. Mm-hmm. And then the other part, I couldn't quite tell if it was a kid that Jackie Chan was dropping off the truck, but when they dropped him off that truck and he almost hit the road.
Yeah, I got a little nervous.
But it was scary.
Yeah, that was no dummy and no stand-in little person.
That was a little monkey person.
A little monkey. Oh, right.
Tiny.
Part of the little monkey people guild.
Tiny monkey person.
Yeah, yeah. They have their own card-carrying kind of, you know, it's all run by the mob anyway. It doesn't matter.
Right. That was the other big part of this movie is we were basically fighting the mafia. That's what this was all about, really.
But who... Okay, well, clear me up though. Was it like triad kind of stuff?
I don't know anything about the drug system over in Asia, but apparently there is some kind of Turkey drug mafia that was going against the Korean drug mafia. And I don't know if that's something that we made up for this movie or if that's an actual thing.
And they made it up. If I had to guess, they made a lot of that up. I mean, there are drugs everywhere, but you know, who knows? It did feel like the kind of thing that they were hoping for a sequel. Two at the end, it was very much like, now you know our secret. I'm going to push you in this wheelchair and reveal all. Our next movie, you'll be an actual spy, not an accidental one. A real spy.
The actual spy.
Yeah, the actual spy. And then I don't think this did well there or here enough to justify it, so there was no sequels. I mean, he really only ever got a few franchises to his name. There are a couple of Hong Kong movies, and then, of course, there's Drunken Master series, which went on forever.
Right.
But then the two American ones, you get your Western one with the Owen Broken Nose Wilson.
Right. Noon. What was it? Shanghai Noon.
Shanghai Noon. Yeah. And then the other one. And
Rush Hours.
Yeah. Rush Hour 1, 2. And was there a three?
It's a three, wasn't there?
Yes.
Is there a three? I don't think.
Was there really a three? Yes.
Yeah. They came back for a three.
Rush Hour. Yes. You're right. And there's a Rush Hour 4 in production.
Of course it is.
Let's take a look here. Expect no dates. Oh.
And you still understand the words coming out of my mouth.
You don't touch a man's radio.
It looks like the script is in limbo right now, but Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan are in, because what's Chris Tucker doing?
Not?
He's not doing anything. Right. Let's look. Chris Tucker, what do you think?
Would you watch a Shanghai Nights 2?
There was a Shanghai Nights?
Silver Linings Playbook.
There was a Shanghai Nights 2, I think.
Was it Shanghai Noon?
Or Shanghai Noon.
Nothing since, I mean, basically, Silver Linings Playbook is the only thing he did since Rush Hour 3 in 2007.
Wow. He was in Silver Linings Playbook? Yeah, he kind of disappeared for a while.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Can you hear the words coming out of my mouth? Or whatever he says.
Oh.
It's because he's been replaced by...
Damn! I want to hear him say
that. The guy that is in The Wedding Ringer.
Who's got kind of the same kind of comedy. Yeah, very Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Just never forget in Jackie Brown when he got plugged in the trunk there. That was something else.
Oh, that was him. Wow.
Yeah.
We're plugging you in the trunk.
And so Jackie Brown was 97. I feel like we don't really know who he was other than Fifth Element at that point.
Really? But, oh, no. No, I disagree.
Well, what would you have known him from?
Fifth Element was the first thing I saw him in.
I mean, Friday, where he gets up and goes, damn, a lot all the time.
He was in all those movies.
Here's his movies. Hanging with Mr. Cooper, 92. Meteor Man, 93. House Party, 3. Friday. Then Panther, then Dead Presidents, then Fifth Element. It's not like a huge list.
Okay, so I get it. You didn't see all those movies.
Wait. So you didn't see those movies up to this?
So I still haven't
seen House Party 3?
I still haven't seen the original Friday. I don't like that he's not, we have this conversation about every six months. Yeah. We talk about this movie all the time. Yeah. You freaked out last time I told you this for real. We were going to sack it at one point.
Well, and that's the thing. Like I know I've said this before on this show, but like Friday came out when I was in college and everybody watched that movie all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's one of those movies for some people. It's like, I was talking to my daughter the other day and I asked her what is your goofy growing up movie that you just absolutely love, but if you had fresh eyes, you'd think it was stupid? And she said, probably Hot Dog.
Oh, my God.
Wait, the skiing movie?
No. Hot Rod, sorry.
Okay.
Shit.
I knew what you meant.
Sorry, Hot Rod with Andy Samberg.
I thought you were talking about the skiing movie. Like, what is she doing watching that?
Yeah, from like 78 or something? No.
Like 80s. Yeah.
This thing was like 02, 03 or something.
Porky's on skis.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
She loves Hot Rod. I actually kind of like Hot Rod too, but it's kind of like for somebody else, they were in high school when Dumb and Dumber was hit, or, you know, when Goonies was around, that was your movie or whatever. And so I think Friday, for a lot of people, that's that movie. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. I just never saw it. I don't have any. Actually, I bet I'd like it.
We ask ourselves all the time on this show, why are they remaking this movie? It's because every generation needs their own generation of actors doing the same stupid story and telling it over again so it can be theirs.
But sometimes, sometimes it is and isn't. Like, Hot Rod was original. You could say it really was based on a lot of previous movies, but it wasn't a remake. Whereas Karate Kid that Jackie Chan was in was definitely a remake. It was just a straight up remake.
True. If you ask 17 and 18 year olds, they'll say Nacho Libre is way up there on that list for them.
And that's a fairly original film, right? Anchorman is a fairly original film. So you have both, right?
Sure. Yeah, I just think it's interesting because you it's very hard for other generations, younger and older, to get it. So, like, you know, Carter will laugh all day about Nacho Libre being a great thing that her and her friends watched. I think that thing is a real sleeper dog. I can't watch it. It's okay the first time, but I can't keep going back to it the way I can Dumb and Dumber or something else. Yeah. And so I've just come to be in a happy place with this whole idea. Everyone's got movies like that. We should stop trying to force each other to have the ones we had. And just enjoy what you got, you know? Like, if that was it for you, right on, man. That is part of growing up.
If you're listening to this in the distant future, know that this was the week in time when Sony was able to announce that they actually had ink on paper to remake Ghostbusters with Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig and Kate McKinnon. And
that the other lady
made the internet lose its collective mind.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
it was the weirdest thing to see everybody feel like they had to have some opinion on this thing that is an idea.
Well, it's part of it's officially cast is one thing, but the second thing is it's people still thinking that their childhood memories in entertainment are sacred.
Right.
And they're not. So if they remake Indiana Jones movies, go for it.
Yeah.
They're not mine to do with what I want. I am here to tell you how much I enjoyed those first movies and how much Temple of Doom is better than people think, blah, 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 whatever arguments I want to make. But at the end of the day, they are not some weird sacred cow that no one else is allowed to touch. It's entertainment I consumed at a young, impressionable age, period. That's it.
To Brian Dunaway's point, the people who are going to see this new Ghostbusters in 2016, let's say.
Yeah.
They're mostly people who weren't even alive yet.
Yeah.
When the original was
made. They're not doing this for us. They never did it for us. The first one wasn't for us. It was for money. Generation. It was to make money. It wasn't to do anything else. It was to bring these actors out, make a bunch of money, and it turned out good and everyone liked it. Two is a pile of shit, as we've gone over before on the show. And we watched it here and it's terrible. And people forget that. Oh yeah, pee all over my childhood, except the second one was terrible.
Right.
Like your childhood memories are only good. It's annoying to me. But this personal, like having this personal, I understand certain music you listen to as a kid. I love Journey, man. I was so into Journey and Rush. I couldn't get enough Rush in my life. But that doesn't mean that somebody can't come along and be the new lead singer of Rush and Neil Peart's too old to drum, so bring in a new guy to drum. It's none of my damn business at this point because it's not my stuff.
Actually, Journey was a really good... You should have gone down the Journey path there.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, they literally brought
it. Oh, they literally, yeah, that's true. They
generation younger than
that. Yeah. And I went, you know what? When I heard that, I went, this isn't for me anymore. But that's okay. This is for someone else now. So let somebody else have it. Star Wars coming out this year, the biggest, most seismic thing ever. It's fine if we walk away. If the four of us walk away from that, not entirely satisfied, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But right. I like to think of it like I think of Anchorman 2. Like, Anchorman 2 was fine. It wasn't great by any stretch. And how could it be? The first movie was a stroke of lightning, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you gonna do? Right. How can you ever top that?
It's so hard to live up to those expectations. Sometimes people pull it off. It's rare. I mean, Empire Strikes Back did it. I think Temple of Doom did it. That's my opinion.
Yeah, but so you watch Anchorman 2 and you're like, oh, it doesn't live up to my expectations. Those are way too many expectations.
Yeah.
And coming
the only
back
thing
around
that
it,
I
Yeah.
The only thing that I expected from that movie was exactly what they gave me, which was the flip scene when they all flipped over in the RV.
Oh yeah.
The slow motion and everything's floating around them. Yes.
After that, I was done. I was like, this is great. I'm done.
This is the greatest thing ever.
And they put 90% of that in the preview. Yeah. In the trailer.
And if they go ahead, if they follow through with this plan, or at least this talk that's going around right now, that Chris Pratt could be the new Indiana Jones, I am okay with it. Not because I like or dislike Chris Pratt, because I like him a lot. I think he'll be fine. I like it. It's a slightly different take, but also let's get back to like the 30s when it's interesting to be Indiana Jones and not in the 50s when you're in a fridge and you're looking for aliens. That's stupid.
No, no.
So let's
go back. I'm gonna go with if they don't continue the path with Shia LaBeouf, I'm not gonna.
F that business. But even if they did, that's my whole point. Even if they did do that, that isn't for me anymore, and that's okay. I have to be okay with it. Because the sacred cows, I think, are my childhood memories, still exist. I've got them on Blu-ray. They're great.
And no one's going back and changing those.
He says that with some trepidation.
We won't bring it up. But no one's going back and changing those movies that you love from your childhood. No one's going back and changing Ghostbusters.
Sure.
Right? Nobody's going to change your Star Wars anymore either.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
Speaking of Chris Pratt, we learned not long ago that Antoine Fuqua wants to make The Magnificent Seven with Chris Pratt and Denzel Washington.
I'm in. No, he's not just wanting to. That's a done deal. That's happening, and I could not be more freaking excited. Well, it's the way it's listed as a untitled Western with those two, but I am like, all in, man.
That is the perfect example of get your expectations right.
Yeah.
Because as you might be noticing, for all four of us, we came into The Accidental Spy with the wrong expectations.
Sure.
Ended up not liking the movie.
And it's so funny how it reverses too. A lot of people really like the Stargate movie. I hate it. I think it's a terrible film. I know you do. A lot of people do. And I'm okay with people liking it.
I haven't seen it since I saw it in the theaters. And I'll bet if I saw it again, I wouldn't have as much. I wouldn't say love at all.
We need to film sack it. We should film sack it. But it's one of those reverse things where that movie sucked for me, but the television show, I loved it.
Did you see it after the television show started, or did you see it before?
Well, there was no show before that. I saw it in the theater in 94.
Well, that's what I was wondering if you saw it in the theater.
So I saw it in the theater, saw it once, went, ugh, that was a stinker. I saw it in Vegas for some reason. We were down there for something. And I didn't like it. And then the show comes along, what, like 5 years later or something? I don't know when that started.
Showtime picked it up.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was 5 years later, but
It was a little bit of time. But I remember thinking, oh, well, that's going to be terrible. And man, I really like that. So occasionally, you know, you have your MASH, you have your Stargate, you have your things that can thrive in a different medium and do fine. And you'll find me singing its praises. And then you'll find other people who think that stuff's terrible. I guess what this Ghostbuster kerfuffle this week taught me was that A, there is a portion of humanity that is still misogynist a-holes. That's one. Two, nobody likes my idea of just slightly changing the names of the female characters to be Priscilla Venkman. And nobody wants that.
Nobody likes that at all.
Nobody wants that, you know.
I'm okay with that. What's wrong with that?
But
did you get heat on that?
It just needs to happen because the business, people have forgotten, the business model is to make movies that make a bunch of money. Period. That's the business model. So they're going to keep doing that model. If you want to grasp onto something you thought was awesome and hold it to your heart and remember it always, that is your prerogative and you should. And I do all the time. But I am also okay with the idea that this stuff's going to get remade.
If you're okay with putting art above money, then go make yourself a reboot of the Phase 4 movie.
Yeah, all by yourself. Did you guys get that link I sent you with the footage?
I did.
That's weird.
I sat on the toilet and watched the
and it did not make any more. I was hoping it was going to answer all the questions I had.
It didn't.
If you listen to our last episode, there is a video on YouTube of the lost ending to Phase 4, and it is not helpful at all.
Nope. None helpful. Not one bit. All right. I think we should do clips. We have some. Not a ton, but some. Here's something about... Oh, this sounds like my mother.
You're never gonna get a man if you keep eating this way.
You know, you sound like my mother.
Oh, you sound like my mother.
You do not sound like you read this on a microphone later.
You're never gonna get a man if you...
Pace yourself, Jackie. Pace yourself, buddy. I still say... Oh, by the way, speaking of remakes that people get pissed about, I still say that Karate Kid movie with him in it is really good. I loved it.
I still have to see that.
I loved it. I'm not even, and that Jaden Smith kid drives me nuts, but I thought the movie was great, and I thought Jackie Chan was really good.
He doesn't do any tweeting during that movie,
right?
No. Okay, good.
I was surprised to learn that the big argument against that movie was that it should have been called The Kung Fu Kid.
Yeah, because it was all, instead of actual karate, it was Kung Fu, and they were in China, so it was a flip in terms of nationality and stuff, but I guess you could, I mean, it's a weird technical problem, like, because, yes, in truth, they are doing kung fu all the time. It's in China. It's kung fu. It's not karate. It's not Japanese like it was in the other one. But it's a small quibble. I thought Jackie Chan put in a hell of a performance. He was really good in it.
Cool.
Like real acting, like got you pulled, yanked your heartstrings. He was great. He was really great. And it's a great take on the wise master who teaches you what you got to do Miyagi style without trying to be a parody of Miyagi. It was really good.
Miyagi style.
Here's, what's this? Gotta sell machines.
You're supposed to pay attention to the man, not hit on his wife. I was just showing
just how... Just listen to me. You gotta sell machines. What was that all about?
You gotta sell machines.
Gotta sell machines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't sell the ball. Don't sell the trampoline.
Sell the machines.
Can't make any money off the stupid ball.
Yeah, all the margins on the tramps.
Really? He's Korean.
Oh.
Korean? Are you kidding?
I was going to say, that's what people say when I ask about my brother. But anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're kidding.
I didn't mean to click that so early. Here's another one. What's he talking about?
You see, I have this one client. I know this sounds weird, but he says, Manny, find some men that were born in 1958.
So why are you telling me that?
He had me looking all over the place.
Oh, I suddenly he's Columbo at the end of that.
That's exactly what
yes.
I thought.
Yes, he was Columbo completely Peter Falken out.
Peter, he was all falked
he was
up.
Falken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All falked up. Let's see.
I got one more question.
And he never said anything that made any sense to me. Like that, even that story. Like, I did, that didn't make sense. This movie, dude. All right, how about this one? Can't believe I'm dying.
I just can't believe it's my life's end.
Don't give up.
Yeah, don't give up, dude.
Stallone at the very beginning.
If you're talking like that, then you should probably give up.
It was very Stallone-ish, wasn't it?
Yeah, just the first few words.
I just can't believe it's my...
Yeah, it's kind of like dying Stallone.
Bye, Stallone.
Like John Rambo in the bushes waiting to come out again. All right, here's Jackie Chan saying yes.
Yes! Yes!
All right. That's
okay,
good.
That's what you want.
That's what you want.
You got to save that for some time when you like ask a listener a question and you need to play a yes or no response.
Yeah, if they get the little trivia question or something.
Right.
That'd be all right. All right. So are you fine?
Oh, my. Are you fine?
Yes, yes.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Park.
I'm sorry.
Are you fine?
Are you fine?
Are you fine?
Hot coffee?
Oh, hot coffee? Are you fine?
Are you fine?
So dumb. Who says
it's
that?
Because somebody said, oh, let's enter, are you okay, into Google Translator. Are you fine?
Are you
okay,
fine?
That's our
are
line.
You fine?
Yeah, it's so bad.
It's Rad Rod Dean, ladies and gentlemen. Rad Rod Dean.
Yep. All right. Not since that other one we saw. I forgot the name of already. It was a Drunken Master 2, I think. He sang, and he sings in this. So here's a little singing.
Unfortunately, that's all I can remember.
Is that Banjo Tomato? Was that the song?
He is singing in another language.
Oh, that's not okay.
I'm sure he said tomato.
No, he didn't.
It's not Banjo Tomato.
No.
Tomato.
But I want it to be Banjo Tomato so bad. Banjo Tomato.
I hope you get an email about how like that's the most famous song everyone in Hong Kong knows.
I hope I get that one too.
Sure.
What is it? What was this the first time he played himself? Here you go.
My name is Jackie Chan.
Oh, that's from earlier. We talked about that. And I think it is. I don't know of any other Jackie Chan movie where he goes by the name Jackie Chan.
No.
Ibbitt on his prom night. This is what he would tell girls. We captured this. This is unrelated. This is from a different time, but this is what Ibbitt would tell the girls before they would leave. Okay, pick them up, put their corsage on, and then lean over and whisper this.
Oh, by the way, if I fall asleep, please wake me up at 12 o'clock, okay?
There you go. Okay. Kind of went a long way to
wait,
get that.
I would say that to the girls, yeah, or they would say that to me?
They'd say that to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better. You're right.
Totally fine with me.
In the men's room.
What happened?
For me, Katharam.
What'd you say?
Katharam for me.
Banjo Tomato.
Now, again, if we gave every episode a name drawn from what we say in the episode, this one would have to be called Banjo Tomato.
This would be Banjo Tomato. Yeah, it was a horrible N64
my favorite
game.
PlayStation franchise.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Nintendo 64.
Nintendo 64.
Yeah. That's right.
Banjo Tomato.
Banjo Tomato-y.
Yeah.
Tazooie.
Here's the don't what?
Don't worry. The rescue team is on their way.
Oh, okay, just don't worry. That's all.
That was the movie I wanted to see, by the way.
Yep. The rescue team coming. Sure. Rescue Team 4000. That should have been what that movie was called. All right. When you do get your damn drugs.
I got them into this. Help me get them out first. Then you'll get your damn drugs.
I don't think he swears much in movies either, so that was new.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Jackie's pretty clean clean actor as it goes. Doesn't say much more than damn, I guess. Although he was pretty naked in this, so come on, Jackie.
Yeah.
What you doing there, buddy? Let's see. How about... Oh, I like a good dub over.
Jackie, are you okay?
That sounds so dubby, doesn't it? That may as well be like an old video game clip or something. Like this one right here.
People look up to
No, that's not it. Hold on.
No nails.
No.
You can even have...
No. No, that's Brian.
I don't believe in magic.
Like that guy. He's a good example. Brian gagging. Sorry. There it is again. All right. Here's one.
Here I am. You need help?
That was from the bloopers, right? I think it was. The old man.
Oh, here I am. You need help?
Here I am.
Talk too loud, old man. They shoot you.
Here he is again. So fake. Wait, like that sounds like Skeletor.
It does.
That's amazing. All right. There's your clips. That means it's time for the checklist. Doing his own stunts, check. Getting hurt on the outtakes, check. Blah, 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 check. All right, moving on. Star Trek stuff. The only connection we can find in here is Waylon Wallen, something like that. He was the music scoring mixer for the U.S. version, which is what we saw. He was the score mixer for Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Star Trek
score
3.
Mixer.
Score mixer. Search for Spock, Star Trek IV, Voyage Home, and 2009's Star Trek. That guy's been busy and had plenty of good work to do, so...
So when they re-score a movie that's being moved from another language and being redubbed in English, do you think they try and keep as true to the original music as possible, or do you think they take it as an opportunity to westernize the music a little bit?
I think in this case, they totally 24'd up this joint. I think that music that was like, dun-dun-dun-dun, I mean, it was basically like The Rock or something. Like this, I got a good sample of that. It's not from the movie, but it reminds me of, here you go, something like this. You know? It's just like very intense Michael Bay kind of thing.
I gotta get that bomb defused!
That's kind of what they did here, I thought.
Chloe, give me those codes!
Let's see, what else we got here? Oh, hey, I know what, the soundtrack grade. I'd give it a TFC for 24 called and they want their score back.
That's good stuff.
Like good stuff. Yeah. Right. Okay. What's next? All right. You guys have to sum this thing up. 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
The accidental spy. Jackie Chan gets naked and runs around and you can see everything. This is the stuff that Scott Johnson's dreams are made of.
Oh, yeah. Taco butt. Next.
Cheeseburger.
Brian Dunaway.
The accidental spy, like asking your orphan son to spread your ashes on your wife's grave. Sounds kinky, but it's not. Spread my ashes already. Stop carrying it around with you everywhere, you jerk.
Gross. I would never carry those around. It's gross. The idea of people's ashes being a thing you can like spend a lot of time with, I don't like that. It freaks me out.
Isn't that kind of cheating anyway? Because, you know, you buried your wife, so you had to pay for that plot. Then you're just going to spread your ashes on hers.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheating.
Cheating. Cheating is what that is.
That's right. Cheating.
Brian Ibbett.
The accidental spy. Elevators, Turkish bath gels, defibrillators, and stuffed animals. Jackie Chan is Chop Saki MacGyver.
Right on, brother. Nicely
when he
said.
Made that boat.
Just handed.
boat.
That was pretty good. Just handed to me. The alternate title for today's show. We have two options. First one is this our last Jackie Chan movie? And the next one is, please tell me this is our last Jackie Chan movie. At least for a while.
Oh,
nice. Emails.
Not if the tuxedo comes into streaming soon.
Well, fair enough. Yeah. I'll watch that.
Or Rush Hour. Or there's a number of things that never stream that we would totally jump on.
I could do Rush Hour. I think that'd be
about 80. How about 80 days?
I need some bad animatronic monster movie. That's what I need to cleanse my palate. I need something terrible, like the Little Monkey Men thing I saw.
I got something in store for you.
All right, all right. Randy mentioned, this is an email from Danny Potts, who says, no relation to Annie Potts.
I was about to say.
Who will be Danny Potts in that new movie. Yeah, that's the other thing, is if they're going to make this movie Ghostbusters deal, all the female parts need to now be dudes. So we need Sigourney Weaver stand-in. We need
all the female parts need to be dudes.
Yeah.
All right. There's no more Dan. There's only Zool.
That's a Zool. All right. And you know who could be, you know who could play Rick Moranis' character would be like Rachel Dratch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Just a little squirrely, ugly thing. That's what you need.
Hey.
No, I like her, dude. She's great. But part of her charm is that she's kind of gnarly.
That's what she goes for as a comedian.
Randy mentioned, it says in this email during the Phase 4 episode, that that sounds so official and cool sounding until you realize the dumb movie it is. That was difficult to think of a good movie with minimalist casts in it. I would submit 1972's Silent Running as an example of how the subject material of the movie is made better through minimalism. Bruce Dern's slow descent into madness is predicated on being alone in space for too long. Space madness. I love that. The entire case page on IMDb is less than 10 people, and aside from the robots, there's really no one character in the film. Keep in mind, though, tell Brian Dunaway that my son and I still listen faithfully, even though it's my son is turning 18. I'm trying to track down enough copies of 1996's Santa with Muscles for y'all. It's my favorite awful Christmas movie.
Oh my God.
Clint Howard, Garrett Morris, Ed Begley Jr., Hulk Hogan. The list goes on.
You got 11 months.
Oh, awesome. Good luck, Danny.
Santa with Muscles.
Anyway, it's a good point. I vaguely remember Silent Running, but not real well. And I'm a huge fan of
Mike. I remember more Cool Runnings.
Yeah. Is that a Mike and the Mechanics song? Yeah. It is?
Can you hear me running?
Oh, it's that's called Silent Running. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I want to see... I love Space Madness movies with one dude in it. I'm a big fan. Or even a couple of dudes like Pandora's... Or Paranormia? Or Pandoria?
Pandorum.
There you go. They had two dudes in it. And it was great. I'm all into that. I like that.
Well, what about when one guy plays two guys?
I'm all right with that, too.
All right.
Or plays several guys.
I like it when... Ed, I can't think of his name. Ed, damn it. Nope.
Ed Norton
is played by Brad Pitt, and he walks into a room and he makes a rubber penis move. I like that a lot. Have you seen that? That's pretty funny. That's my favorite scene in all of Fight Club.
Right.
He goes into this room, and he's in there with what's her name that's in all of Tim Burton's movies. I can't think of her name. Helena Bonham Carter's in there talking to him. Brad Pitt swaggers in like he does, gets up on the dresser, leans on it kind of hard, looks to the left and notices there's a big ding dong there, and just hits the table again just to watch it move. It is a fantastic moment.
That movie, I know people who hate that movie so much.
I love that movie.
Like it's the worst movie ever made.
I love it.
And I don't understand how you can't find some things that are really clever in there.
That is the movie that you need to... That's a Fincher turning point. It's an amazing film.
Yeah.
Brett wrote in, final email, says, "Hey, Scott, listen to the Anachrophobia episode. Jeff Daniels didn't really disappear. He basically owns a town up here in Michigan. But we don't think Jeff Daniels disappeared. We know that he's in things. He's in... He's in that newsroom show and doing really well.
He was.
Well, yeah, but that he's got the Dumber and Dumberer thing that came out, and he's in something else coming up where he's a big deal. He's in the new Sorkin scripted Steve Jobs movie. He's playing John Scully in that. So he's busy. I hope we didn't assert that he had dropping off the face of the earth. He's done plenty of stuff.
He's not doing a Jesse Ventura, Wesley Snipes thing.
No. What? Really? What? Shut up. He's not doing that.
Like them.
Whew, yeah. Scared me for a minute. He's going to go to dinner with like, what's his cousin? Cousin, I can't think of his name now. What's his name? He's up in Canada. Same deal. He's hiding from the law.
Randy Quaid.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. All right. I got to tell you guys another story sometime about a Western I watched with Randy Quaid, Dennis Quaid, both of the, who's in Kung Fu? Who died hanging with his wiener out? What's his name?
Yes.
Bill?
Hanging with his wiener
Kill
out.
Bill guy? You know what I mean.
Yep.
Anyway, him and his brother, Carradine. The Carradines. Keith and David Carradine, plus the other boy Carradine that no one ever knows about. They're in it.
Little Carradine?
Junior Carradine there. You got, I think, three or four other sets of brothers. Stacy Keach and his brother. It's the weirdest. It's this old Western in 1980. I just started watching them about halfway through it. It's all brothers. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, you're talking about the Long Riders.
That's the one. It's good, actually. It's what's his name?
Freaking Walter Hill.
Man. Yeah, it's good. It's dark. It's good.
What is up with that guy?
I like it. But it's so weird to see all these actual brothers.
Yeah.
Like multiples of them just all over the damn place. Oh, and the weirdest one, Christopher Guest and his brother are in it. I forgot he even had a brother. Yeah, Nicholas Guest. I forgot he even had a guy that did movies.
Oh,
anyway,
he mostly does voices, right? Yeah. Nicholas Guest.
Yeah, a lot of voices. That is a weird movie. I recommend, if you are into the whole idea of brothers working in Hollywood, that movie's like the weirdest thing. Anyway, where did I get to on this? Oh, he says he's in this town up in Michigan. He has a comedy theater that helps out up-and-coming talent. He's been dumber and dumber, but I know you know he's got talent. Love the show, bro, Brett. TMS listener.
If you're listening and you've never heard of Nicholas Guest before, he is the guy that you've seen a million times who plays Todd, Julia Louis-Dreyfus's boyfriend who lives next door to the Griswolds in Christmas Vacation.
Oh, okay.
That is Nicholas Guest.
Right.
Todd.
I keep wanting that to be Brad Hall, but it's not.
It's not Brad Hall. I do also want that to be Brad Hall, but they were actual couple, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You also want to be the sniveling guy from Back to the Future. What's his name? Crispin Glover. You want it to be Crispin Glover.
You do want it to be him. It's not right. him. It's
Nicholas
not
him. Guest.
It's never him. Nicholas Guest, everybody. Speaking of guests, we have no guests. But what we do have is no show next week. So we were going to have a show, but we don't now. We have no show. There's some traveling going on. There is no show next week. We want to make sure people are aware of this. Don't expect a new film sack, but we will be back the week after that with what movie?
Blame me, people.
I don't want to blame you.
After that, it's going to be RoboCop 2.
What?
And then, in addition to seeing Jackie Chan's naked man ass, Scott's dreams are going to come true because we're going to watch True Grit.
Oh, I'm excited.
And then,
the old
Turbulence, Cyborg, Surf Nazis Must Die, Starship Troopers 2. List goes on.
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Wow.
Starship Troopers 2?
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, no, wrong movie.
Yeah, you're mixing your RoboCop in there. Yeah, there you go. True Grit, this, by the way, the True Grit we're watching is the 69 thing with John Wayne. Yeah,
69, dude.
RoboCop 2, yeah, that'll be next, and I'm pretty stoked. That's the I want to say that's the one written by Frank Miller, I think that's the one.
When you think of our next episode, think Valentine's Day weekend, think RoboCop 2.
That sounds good to me. We'll be back then, everybody. Thank you for being here, as always. FilmSack.com is our website. Email us, FilmSack@gmail.com. On Twitter, FilmSack. Go Seahawks, because I hate the freaking Pats. Leave us a review on iTunes. I think it's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yes.
See you next time.
How do you operate this thing?
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Did you guys know this preceding episode of Film Sack was brought to you by you? Well, people like you anyway. Maybe you, but maybe some of you haven't done this yet. They went over to patreon.com/frogpants and they gave a little bit of money each month to help us out. If you want to see great programming like this continue, head on over to patreon.com/frogpants and help us out today. Thanks, everyone.